The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has urged President Donald Trump to visit Ukraine and see the devastation caused by Russia's invasion for himself. The invitation comes just hours after the Russian military strikes on the city of Sumy in Ukraine, killing over 30 civilians. Now, that interview was actually recorded before the strike on Sumy, but after the strike on Volodymyr Zelensky's hometown. The US president's reaction to that attack on Sumy, which killed so many people and injured so many more, was that Russia had made a mistake and it was a horrible thing. But while tensions increase in Ukraine, back in the US, Trump has announced that all smartphones, computers and other tech devices would be exempt from the tariffs he's imposed on China, while all the rest of the Chinese goods would still enjoy a tariff of 145%. Meantime, the rest of us are paused in the tariffs that he's levied on the rest of the world. I'm joined on the line by Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
So many things happening in the US, but the good news for MAGA supporters is that Donald Trump, should he manage to get round the law and the Constitution and run for a third term, he's in tip-top condition.
He's in tip-top condition. He had his physical last week. The results were released. What's interesting about this is that this is, in one way, the most detailed report that we've got for him. High cholesterol. He has skin damage from his exposure to the sun, diverticulosis, benign colon polyp, and cataract surgery in both eyes. That's the most we have learned about Donald Trump in any of his medical reports going back to 2015 when he first started to run.
The other interesting fact is that all recommended vaccinations are up to date, including travel-related immunizations. So he's not scared of the jab.
He's not scared of the jab. He won't admit that he's getting a COVID vaccination, but no, he's evidently up to date, and he's up to date in anything he needs to travel. So no, he is not scared of vaccinations, unlike his health secretary.
Now, pardon me if I'm a bit cynical, but I'll read the summary, and there's one line in it that should have no place in a medical report. President Trump remains in excellent health, exhibiting robust cardiac, pulmonary, neurological, and general physical function. His active lifestyle continues to contribute significantly to his well-being. President Trump's days include participation in multiple meetings, public appearances, press availability, and frequent victories in golf events. That has no place in a medical report. So it looks like this particular doctor may have been captured by Trump.
Well, Donald Trump in the past, for all his medical reports, there have been suggestions that he has written them himself. If you remember, I can't remember what year it was during his first term, but he was proclaimed the most physically fit man ever to occupy the office of the presidency. So a lot of times he would be his own personal doctor who would do it. And it was skewed in a way that Donald Trump wanted it to be skewed.
Yeah, but the frequent victories in golf events. Now, this is supposed to contribute to fitness. If you're traveling around a golf course on a golf cart, you get precious little exercise. So that's a bit of a nonsense.
And that's a whole other thing, because we've also seen pictures of Donald Trump when he's returned to the clubhouse after a round of golf. And he doesn't look like Rory McIlroy, let's just say.
And indeed, he did pass on his congratulations to Rory McIlroy on his Grand Slam. Anyway, let's move on. There is no excuse, physically, medically speaking, for Trump to turn down an invitation to go to Ukraine.
No, there is absolutely no reason for him to turn down an invitation to go to Ukraine unless it's something that, one, he doesn't want to do, doesn't intend to do, or would put him and his relationship with Vladimir Putin in jeopardy. He was very angry after that interview last night. He was actually angry about two interviews on 60 Minutes last night and unleashed on Truth Social.
Yeah, what did he have to say about the two interviews?
Well, he said that first, the one regarding Vladimir Zelensky, Scott Pelley basically said that Donald Trump has rewritten history because he says that, you know, it was Ukraine that started the war. Trump went off on that. He, you know, has said he is proud. He's suing 60 Minutes right now for, I think it's $20 billion for an interview that they aired with Kamala Harris during the campaign. He was annoyed at that. He was annoyed at a feature on Greenland, in which Greenlanders basically said, no, we have no interest in joining the United States. So he said he was honored to be suing 60 Minutes, and he instructed his FCC commissioner, Brendan Carr, to launch an investigation into the broadcast.
Now, $20 billion, I mean, this is stuff and nonsense. We know these are intimidatory actions by Trump. How long they will keep going and what impact they'll have on broadcasters and other publications remains to be seen. Meantime, you have a very disturbing attack on the house of Governor Josh Shapiro, who's a Democrat and is also Jewish.
He's the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. It happened last night or late Saturday night, the first night of Passover. He had just hosted a Seder at the governor's mansion hours before. An intruder got onto the grounds. The intruder was identified on the grounds. State police went looking for him. Before they found him, he managed to break into the house, break several windows with a hammer, and throw incendiary devices, Molotov cocktails or bottles of beer bottles filled with gasoline. The governor was woken by the security detail, forced to get out of the house, but there was a significant, if you've seen pictures of it, significant amount of damage inside the governor's mansion. So again, there's no known motive. The suspect in custody turned himself in afterwards, a 38-year-old man. And it's not known whether this was political, whether this was anti-Semitic, or whether it was both.
Well, let's hear the reaction of Governor Shapiro as he spoke to the press.
If he was trying to terrorize our family, our friends, the Jewish community who joined us for a Passover Seder in that room last night, hear me on this. We celebrated our faith last night proudly. And in a few hours, we will celebrate our second Seder of Passover again proudly. No one will deter me or my family or any Pennsylvanian from celebrating their faith openly and proudly. If this individual was trying to deter me from doing my job as your governor, rest assured I will find a way to work even harder than I was just yesterday. This kind of violence is becoming far too common in our society. And I don't give a damn if it's coming from one particular side or the other, directed at one particular party or another, or one particular person or another. It is not okay. But we do know that this attack was targeted. We don't know the person's specific motive yet. But we do know a few truths. First, this type of violence is not okay.
What has been the reaction to this attack on the governor's home?
It's one of shock because, again, it was a massive attack. The governor and his family could have been killed. The fire was that big. I mean, there are questions about the security. How could someone get onto the grounds and get to the house? That's for another day. But it's just whether it was, as the governor said, whether it was political, whether it was anti-Semitic, whether it was whatever, it just is extremely worrying. And people are, disgusted may not be the right word, but people are just stunned by this, you know, that this, you know, assassination attempt, and that's what it was, you know, could be done and put the governor's whole family in effect. And again, trying not to normalize this. And that's the hard thing. You know, this is something that's horrible, but it can't be normalized.
And the mixed motives, I mean, he, Josh Shapiro, is a potential Democratic candidate for 2028. So that may have been the motive to stop a strong potential candidate in his tracks. Or, of course, it could have been anti-Semitism or just some crazy. Who knows? The other thing that we've been watching over the weekend have been the fighting oligarchy meets, which have been pretty sensational for Bernie Sanders and AOC.
That's right. They've been doing the tour. They, as you said, they're calling it the Fighting Oligarchy Tour. They were in California. They did a rally in Los Angeles, had about 36,000 people in it that were energized and pumped up. And then Bernie Sanders made an appearance at Coachella, at the Coachella Festival, again, wowing the crowd who had come to see the Go-Go's. But no, he's trying to reach a younger audience and trying to motivate a younger audience of who they perceive as liberals and progressives to get involved, to get activated, and to become active in politics and in trying to and in government.
I'm looking at a picture also taken in Utah. 20,000 people turn up for a meeting. It's one of the reddest states in the country, and it's a Sunday night, not even election year. So there is something of a groundswell of opposition to Trump's various activities.
That's something that's become evident, over, I would say, over the past 3 weeks. Again, we had protests last weekend, the hands up protests, hands off protests that were held in many multiple cities across the country. Some Democrats seem to be finding their sea legs, finding their courage. So they're starting to raise. And it's just, yes, I think who knows where it's going to go, but I think that the opposition is starting to become uncowered.
Now let's talk about tariffs. I mean, it's too early in the day for another U-turn or another switcheroo on tariffs, but the last week has been so incredibly up and down and indecisive, it would appear.
It's been a whipsaw, and that's actually now the administration is selling this as this shows that the policy is working, that they're getting countries to come to the table to negotiate with Donald Trump, and everything is working. But again, there seems to be an announcement, and then there's a climb back, an announcement and a climb back. So, for instance, Friday night, a notice was sent to basically border agents, about suspending the tariffs from China on certain electronic goods, on chips, on semiconductors, et cetera, smartphones, computers. And then yesterday they're talking about, well, this is only temporary and that we could see new tariffs within the week, or maybe we can see them within a month or two. This is just to reset things. And then again, China now announces that it is halting exports of critical minerals and other critical exports, including magnets that would basically paralyze manufacturing in the United States.
The other thing that's happening is exports of LNG to China have been diverted perhaps to Europe, but certainly to other destinations, because it's not viable for the Chinese to buy American LNG at the prices plus the tariffs. So they're
right.
Simply not going to happen. They're going to buy their gas elsewhere. And I think they're buying from Australia.
Right. And again, this is the one thing that has happened within the past couple of weeks, or was building up even before the announcement of the tariffs, is that the world economic system is looking for ways around the tariffs, whether it is the EU, whether it is Canada or Mexico, whether it is China. They're looking for ways to bypass the tariffs, bypassing basically trading with the United States or buying from the United States. So that is that's probably going to be, whatever happens, the long term effect of what has happened over the past month.
Now, how stands the row between Navarro and Musk? They were slinging insults at each other, but then it turns out that Musk got his way because, number one, the tariffs on electronic materials, which he needs to build his cars in America, has been removed, at least temporarily.
Musk has been very quiet over the past week. Yes, Musk got his way, but this is almost like looking at the British court or the Russian court. You're reading the tea leaves and you're going, okay, is he on the in or is he on the out? The indication was last week that Elon Musk was on the outs after he spent $25 million to elect a Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin. That didn't happen. He's now viewed as quote unquote a loser in Donald Trump's eyes. So is he in the is he out or is he in or you know, the only thing we know is that he was not on Air Force One last week, which he usually rides on. So who knows?
And the exposition of Ron Navarro as a hoax. I mean, he quoted a guy called Ron Vera as an expert in his book about tariffs. Turns out Ron Vera does not exist. We've been talking about this for the last few days on the program. And he quoted himself effectively in a fraudulent declaration on tariffs. Has that got much air on, say, on the MAGA circuit?
No, that has not. It's gotten air, you know, in the general media and the general press. It's portrayed more in that way that we just talked about, that it's the slinging between Navarro and Musk. But it hasn't gotten much air at all in MAGA world, because right now they're thinking everything that's happening is A-okay, and this is what winning looks like.
All right, Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.